I'm Jeff Nally. This is the Morning Edition here on the Cromwell Ag Radio Network. Alan Brugler joins us this morning of Brugler Marketing and Management. Alan, how's Omaha this spring? Wet?
Actually, we've been just slightly on the dry side. Precip for the month to date. Of course, we're on the last day of the month here as we're talking. But the precip month to date is just within a couple of hundredths of the previous month. We'd actually like to see a little bit more moisture than we've gotten here. Now, if you go further north into South Dakota, they're on the wet side.
I would say here on the east side of the Mississippi, we're not having a problem finding moisture. And in fact, it's coming pretty rapidly for us, not seeing the break in action that we would like to have to get this season opened up. We'll come back to weather, but right now let's go to the Department of Agriculture's figures from yesterday. Start with the stocks report. I didn't see any major change from what the USDA offered to what the trade had anticipated. Your thoughts?
No, trade had that one dialed in pretty well. The number was just slightly higher than the average trade guess, and that'll probably end up being a little less second quarter feed and residual use than what we probably had dialed in. We don't get the real fine details until after the April crop report, but as far as what category usage was. But yeah, no real surprise on the stocks report. It basically said, yeah, we've got the most corn sitting there since I believe it's 2007 as of March 1, and the market's job is to find a way to use it up.
7.8 billion bushels in the carry for corn, and the soybean figure at 1.53. Given these numbers, do you think the Department of Agriculture is dialed in with regard to an accurate ending stocks figure unless we have some major wheels falling off somewhere?
Yeah, it's not one of those reports where you can say, well, they have to move their ending stocks figure because there was such a disconnect with the March number versus expectations. I think the old crop story is pretty stable here. The biggest question is still, in all three of those, corn, beans, and wheat, is still whether we can make the export numbers. The export commitments year-to-date are a little behind where they should be to meet the USDA numbers.
So when we think about that, the value of the dollar's fluctuated some lately. Moreover, we've seen some fluctuation in the Brazilian real. Do you see any change there that may help us catch up, or in reality, are we going to have to face the music at the end of the marketing year?
Well, the weaker dollar is definitely a positive for us. It just moves. Not only does it help exports, but it just changes the value in dollar terms. All right, the U.S. commodities are priced in dollars. If the dollar's weaker, it takes more dollars for the same amount of value. So no change in S&D, a weaker dollar still translates to higher price. That can get masked sometime by changes in the S&D, and that's, of course, what we're wrestling with here. But relative to Argentina and Brazil, we know Argentina's weakened their currency to be more competitive on exports. That was done as part of the big overhaul from Macri. Brazil is very unstable with the possible impeachment of their president. It's really hard to say what that currency is going to do. It rallied on the threat of impeachment, then it backed off. We definitely got a little window in there where we could sell some beans, and we did, but this week's export sales were back down to pedestrian again.
So talking about the corn export figure, before we come over to the acreage, which is where ultimately we need to land, word from China is that they're going to change their policy with regard to corn, 250 million metric tons of corn sitting in storage there. Is this any surprise, and do you expect the change by China to affect export sales for corn in this marketing year that might influence our bottom line?
Well, first of all, most of the Chinese change is going to be in next year. The support price change that is going to be effective in October with the new crop. They're still going to have to auction off some of the high-priced corn that they bought last fall and last winter. Typically, they buy more than the market can really give up, and then they sell it back to the market after the beginning of April. So April to September, they'll still be auctioning corn off, and my assumption is that'll be a kind of an in-between price. The government will be losing money, but they won't take it all the way back to world market levels. So I think you'll continue to see some Chinese imports of DDGs and sorghum and so forth for a while yet. The implication for next winter, of course, is much more negative. They technically can't cut imports off entirely under WTO. They have to have an import quota available. We've got an analogous situation in cotton where they've got the 60% of the world cotton stocks, but they still have to open up some cheap cotton imports for WTO.
All right, so let's move to acreage, and I'm going to hold corn until after the break. The Department of Agriculture showed soybean prospective plantings at 82.25 million acres. The average trade guess, 82.9, the range from 84.2 to 81.6. Are you surprised with the soybean figure at 82.25?
Well, actually, that came in pretty close. I think we were anticipating we might see just a little bit more on the bean side and a little less on the corn side. You know, the ratio got out of whack just a little bit there. But the fact of the matter is that when in February, the corn-soy ratio was favoring corn. And the first part of March, we were still in that situation. So producers were telling it like it is. I think the bankers were probably leaning a little bit on the corn as opposed to beans, not so much on the input cost side, but more on the expected revenue side. So, again, the ratio has now gone back to 2.5 to 1 with today's price action, and that'll tend to move that meter back towards a little more bean acreage, I think.
In terms of all wheat, one of the lowest figures we've seen in some time at less than 50 million acres.
Yeah, it's actually the lowest since 1970.
So when we look at this, the stockpile of wheat versus the acreage, which one wins?
Basically, wheat's doing what it needs to do. We're not competitive in the world market. We need to tighten up our stockpile in order to be competitive. We need to get rid of it by being cheap, and then we need to keep it tight by not growing the acreage. And the producers made a rational decision to not produce wheat at money-losing price levels. That's going to help us. If Canada has some weather issues, which they're seen having, then that tightens up that world stocks a little bit. So it's a slow process. We've got a 9-year low due in wheat in 2017, plus or minus 9 months. That's a 9-year cycle low. But the right things are happening for that to pan out.
Okay, so the reality yesterday was that there was a very sobering number that came from the Department of Agriculture with regard to corn. The trade thought 90, and instead the USDA said 93.6. More with Alan Brugler, Brugler Marketing, next here on the Morning Edition of the Cromwell Ag Radio Network. Welcome back to the Morning Edition of the Cromwell Ag Radio Network. Alan Brugler is with us of Brugler Marketing. Alan, the 93.6 million figure planted for corn or prospective plantings for corn. Yesterday, a negative reaction end of the trade, but not closing at the lows. How do you take this number this early in the season?
Well, we have to remember intentions reports are designed to tell you what the situation is so that you can change your mind. These are not final numbers. They were never intended to be. The March intentions is, hey, everybody, here's what we're all thinking. So if we're all thinking the same thing, we can change your mind. And USDA's got some pretty good data that says that there's, on average, a 1.5% change from the March intentions to final. And, you know, this basically says too many guys were planning on growing corn, so somebody's got to change their mind.
Mother Nature may have some role in that.
Yeah, that's definitely the case. Preventive planning is a real wild card here. In fact, that's a concern of mine that we got this big of a corn number with the overall acreage for the U.S. down from last year. And last year we had 6.6 million acres of prevent plant. So the implication is that not all the PP acres came back into production or are assumed to be. If we were to have a dry spring, not currently the situation, we may have even more acres out there than what we saw. I don't think that'll happen in corn, but in terms of total acres.
The acres appear to be showing up in North Dakota and in Illinois and in Iowa, 41 of 48 states, either the same or bigger than a year ago.
Yeah, there's a lot of agreement to plant more corn. 41 out of 48 kind of tells the tale. 3% increases in Iowa, 3% in Indiana, 3% in Illinois, 3% in Nebraska. Kind of curious that all those numbers are the same increase. Not quite as much in Ohio. They were 100% of a year ago.
So when we talk about the figures here, some would suggest that you get this March report, it does have the ability to rattle the market, and it did, although not across the board, just in corn. And then you take a hard look at the forecast. Now, we spoke with Drew Lerner with World Weather Incorporated earlier this week on this program, and Drew suggested the fundamentals are coming around with higher probabilities that the summer growing season may be hot and dry, but I would think almost right now is important for corn is that the spring looks cool and damp.
Yeah, cool and damp drives our acreage estimates through the prevent plant mechanism. It actually has to be not just damp, but just plain outright wet some places. Pothole areas of South Dakota would be a good place to start if you wanted to lose a few acres in a hurry. Obviously, adequate moisture gets you good germination, but it does tend to limit the acreage just a little bit. The years where we have full-out acreage, full-out planting, or years like 2012 when we had a very dry spring. Prevent plant on corn in 2012, for example, is only 260,000 acres versus last year, 2.3 million.
So you advise farmers, and you work with clients all across the country. How do you interpret what the USDA told us, and has it changed your objectives for marketing of new crop?
I think we're going to have to be a little more aggressive in forward pricing here. I mean, we've been feeding into this rally since March 1st, don't get me wrong, and we added a bunch of 390 puts right ahead of the report. But I think this kind of raises the bar or lowers the bar on price and basically says that, this is my worst case scenario. If you have the 93.6 million acres planted and you have a 171 yield, which should be tied with the all-time record, you're talking $2.50 corn for the low futures for the next 18 months. That may only be a half a day, but it's a scary number.
It puts a 2 in front of the figure instead of a 3 or 4.
Yeah. So the point being, again, those are big ifs. I don't think the acreage will stay there. I'm not saying we're going to get that high of a yield, but we have to respect the fact that if the things line up in that order, it could get a lot worse than where we are right now.
And if we stay at trend line yield with the 93.6?
Then you're talking 280s to 290s on your low futures. Probably potentially your cash goes down to 310 national average versus the current estimate of 345 from USDA. So there's some downside risk because of this acreage number being much bigger than the 90 million that USDA rolled out in February.
Trim it back 1.5% and keep it at trend line yield, and things do improve a little bit.
Yeah. In fact, we were looking at the biggest acreage swings we've had in the last 20 years. The biggest adjustment from March to final is 3.073 million. So that happened to be in the upward direction, but if it were downward this time, we'd be at 90.5. We'd be just a little above where we were setting in the February estimates.
What do you see with soybeans with the figures of where we stand? The stocks situation for where it is and plantings, I would suggest a little less than the trade thought at 82.25. What does this bring us?
I think it's supportive for beans. It basically gives you a lot less slack in the line. If there's any weather problems, it affects the beans more. And of course, you mentioned Drew Lerner, if we're talking about any kind of La Nina dryness in August or September, beans are where that's going to live. So the lower acreage there is helpful. And the other thing we have to remember is the global stocks usage ratio for soybeans is a lot tighter than it is for corn and wheat right now. So there's just not as much around the world as relative to the demand as there is on the corn and wheat.
Is there any kind of weather premium in this market right now?
I would argue not much. Certainly we were taking some out of the corn today, the Thursday report. The soybeans, you could argue at 920 Nove beans that there's a little bit of weather premium in there, trying to make sure that we hold those 82 million acres, and maybe encourage the Brazilians to plant a few more acres of double crop if they can. But again, there's still room to build in some more premium there with a little bit of a spring weather scare.
So how do we trade over the next 30 days or so, given that weather becomes important and planting progress at some point will kick in different places? What's the pulse of this market? Sideways? Are we going to test lows? What does it look like?
I think we spend a few more days reacting to the USDA reports, pushing the spreads and trying to make sure that there's some movement on the acreage, preferably in the downward direction on corn. then you start worrying about the weather. But the weak dollar helps us. It's going to tend to be a little supportive as long as that's in play, just because of that equation that weaker dollar equals higher prices in dollar terms. We're not operating strictly on a production budget here.
Alan Brugler, your offices are in Nebraska, but you serve farmers across the country. Tell us how we follow your guidance in the market, and if folks want to sign up and talk to you, then how do they find you?
Well, you can go to our website, which is www.bruglermarketing.com. You can call me at 402-697-3623, or drop us an email, alanb@bruglermktg.com.
Well, I'm anxious to see where the rest of this season plays out, and again, if that planted figure holds up. There's a lot of questions still in this marketplace, hopefully enough with some uncertainty that farmers can come up with good marketing plans, and we can make the best of a tough situation here in 2016. Alan Brugler, our guest this morning. I'm Jeff Daly. This is the Morning Edition on the Cromwell Ag Radio Network.